Okay, here we go. Perachapal, questions, comments, what do we got? Yes.
Two questions. One, why did he wait 3 years to do this? Since the fan was going 3 years, why would he wait 3 years?
Okay, good. Why 3 years? Okay, good. What else? We have discussed 3 years. Yes.
Wait.
Yes.
Also, now he's not going to go down to war, but we had before that Yale said specifically go down to war because we don't put a war against war,
a non-king.
Yeah.
Good. We'll have to discuss that as well. Yes.
Okay, so I know you're like a... You don't really... Right. Well, about the Giants.
Yeah.
Right? You're not a big fan of that, right?
I think they were huge. I don't think they were the Jolly Green Giant.
Yeah, but they says, like, pretty clearly here.
Yes, what does it say?
Like, a bunch of times where, like children of the Giants, right?
Right.
And then it says... I don't know why, but... whose fingers were and toes were six each.
Right.
Or another.
So they're saying that this guy looked different than other people. He even had more fingers than average people, and his size was different than people. He was a scary individual. Doesn't say he was, 100 feet tall.
What about, and whose spear weighed 300 copper weights?
Okay, I don't know. Do you know how much copper weight is? I don't know. Look, yes, I assume if they're writing it, it means it's heavy. I agree with you. But Goliath's sword, Doug was able to pick up and chop his head off, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, I assume it's big. And he, not only that, he took it with him when he left, when he was running away from Shaul. So it's clearly something he was able to carry. And Goliath, Mr. Stubborn, was a big guy, right? So, yes, it's like big. It's like, You go batting baseballs. You need that really, really heavy bat, and you can really, like... And if you actually connect, maybe you'll hit it far, but you actually don't really have the same maneuverability with a lighter bat. So, yes, these people, they were so big. So they used a very heavy spear and a heavy, very heavy sword. But I don't think it proved that they were crazy tall. Yeah, I don't know.
Why in the beginning just have to say there's a time of 3 years after you?
Okay, we're going to discuss the famine. Well, what else? Yeah.
So first of all, how are you able to justify killing seven people to defend? Like,
good, definitely have to deal with that. That's a crazy thing in this character. Yeah.
But also, what was it? David had mercy on Mephibosheth that goes to kill his five sons. That's not really a...
Not Mephibosheth's sons.
Born of Shaul, Armoni, and Mephibosheth. Two sons of
Mephibosheth.
Yeah,
kills Prince Ritzpah, Shavodashon. Yeah, it's a different Mephibosheth.
Oh, okay.
All right. This is the Mephibosheth, the son of Ritzpah, his concubine, as opposed to Mephibosheth, the son of Yonatan.
Yeah. And it says. Didn't say hot giant. Yeah, the giants are referring back to either what's his name?
Which pasuk?
Yeah, 16. Tetzayin vayishav b'nei Asher b'nei harafa. That be the giant. It says the giant in English.
All right, v'yishvi b'no v'asher b'nei harafa mishkal kenosar.
Is that referring back to either Goliath or to somebody? Moshe killed, I forgot his name.
The simple, that's Og.
Oh.
Right? The simple thing is no. But there are ideas here that say that these names are references to David. You find this in Chazal. For example, look at the Pasuk that you read, Pasuk Yetet. In the English, what does it say? Read it again. The brother of Goliath. You see how that's in parentheses in English? What does it say in Hebrew? At Goliath.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Okay, so unless you say that this is another way of referring to David, and you have ideas in the Chazal trying to say this referring to David. Okay? So I don't know, but there is an idea like that. Yes?
We're not talking to the team.
Oh, that's good. So the Netinim is a phrase that we have in the Mishnah, and it's based on the pasuk we had in Yeshua that they were given over Netinim to be Shoav Eitzim, the Shoav Emayim, the Kotzve Eitzim. But here it's, I think it's only a Mishnaic phrase. I don't think anywhere in Tanakh they call Netinim. But yes, they are the same people. Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Like, keep calling him the giant, they don't say Goliath.
Well, referring to who was killed now, they killed this giant. He's the brother of Goliath, so that gives you a feeling of how big he was, because we know how big Goliath was. So this guy was also, must have been big.
For example, in
I don't know. Look, the name is unimportant. What's important is this was a formidable foe, and we were able to defeat him. So it's talking about over here. I know, but that was a whole story about him there. So he had a Goliath, and this is how big he is. Okay, we said how big he is, remember? How big was he? Like 9.5, 6.5, Amos, something like that, right?
God bless
you too.
Biggest one.
נעשה את המראטון? אני לא אעשה מראטון הכתובות. I'm not going to do a marathon. I can't do it. I can't. Yes, yes, yes. I'm not doing it. I can't do it. You can do it. Okay. Okay. Now.
And David would swear to him, say, you would not go to... How could they make a swear
that you would not go to war? We're going to get to that now. Ready? Let's start with... when did the story take place? Perachav Aleph. When did the story take place? According to Seder Olam Rabbah, which is what you guys have in the article on the back, that gives you all the years, so we talked about the 2 years that Shaul was king, right? The problem with that. But the Seder Olam Rabbah has this listed as this happened before Merit of Shalom. There's an earlier thing. We're not in chronological order. It's an earlier thing. And according to the opinion, if we recall, Merit of Shalom, it said the 40th year. What was one of the opinions? What was the 40th year? One of the opinions was 40th year of David's reign. Now, and since David was only the king for 40 years, it would be possible to say, and now he had a 3-year famine during David's reign, starting in year 40. So you have to say that it went earlier. Okay. But the Barbanel feels that this isn't chronological order, because the Barbanel also didn't feel that 40 meant the 40th year of his reign. And he says, what's the connection? The connection is David was upset at how harsh God's punishments were. He admits he sinned. We had that earlier, Chatasi. But ever since he sinned, what's happened now? The child through Bathsheba, dead. His son, Amnon, dead. His son Avshalom, dead. His daughter Tamar, raped. His Pilakshim, raped. And that was like saying, all right, I get it, I sinned, but is the punishment ever going to ease up? Like, isn't this overkill? This is what is going through his head. So what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling him? Oh, you think that's bad? I'm still punishing Shaul for his sins. Okay? Shaul's sins against the Gibeonim weren't even against Jews. Shaul might have had a good reason to do what he did, and there's still punishment that's being meted out. So if that's true, Kal v'chomer ben Kal v'chomer, you, for what you did, yeah, I'm not finished punishing. I mean, what did David do? He slept with the, at least, if not the wife, the intended to be wife of one of his Gibore Yisrael, one of his officers in the army. And therefore, yes, God says, I'm not finished punishing. Now, the famine, okay, you brought up. Why do I have a 3-year famine? To make sure that we get everyone's attention. You can have a famine for a year, a drought. And that could happen. That could happen pretty regularly. You might even have 2 years in a row. That'll be really bad. It's possible. 3 years is already something way out of the ordinary. People are now doing cheshbon and nefesh. Why? What have we done? And it's no longer a coincidence. And now they're looking. All right? And now they're saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, what gives? What's going on? When we get to it, we'll see. Okay? We'll see. I don't recall offhand right now, but it was also a long thing. I think 3 years also. That's just off the top of my head. I think so. You can look it up. I think it's what? Perak Yidchet? Malachim Aleph? Yidchet or Yidzayin? Look at Yidzayin. I think Yidzayin. The Yidchet is Har Carmel. I think 3 years also. Now, here's a question that I have for you. Ronnie, Shaul sinned, right? Why is the punishment coming now after he died in the generation of David? You're like, wouldn't you think if Shaul sinned, the punishment should have come then? Why is it coming so much later? Consequences.
Meaning it's not just because he's dead.
Okay, but wouldn't you have thought that the punishment should come in his lifetime? I get it if, let's say, he passed away right afterwards. Oh, there's no time to punish his lifetime, let's punish it afterwards. It seems like this is many years later. Why now? See, here's this interesting idea. Bereishis Rabba, you found it? Look in Yirchet, look in the beginning of Yirchet. I think that's when he already tells Eliyahu to go back to Achav. Anyway, I think it's 3 years. Yes, you found it? Bereishis Rabba is a very interesting idea, which has all sorts of theological implications for us. Bereishis Rabba says, God wanted them to punish, to suffer a famine. But in the days of Shaul, the famine would have led to certain death because Shaul's empire was not nearly as vast as David. Didn't have the resources David did. And therefore, before they would ever get the message that there's a 3-year famine, you would have people dropping right and left. David's empire was so big that it would be a hardship, but they'd be able to get enough food for the people to survive. Not well off, but survive. Now, if you think of it that way, it's very interesting. What does it mean? God might delay a punishment. Like it just shows like the criteria that goes into things is a beautiful idea. Pretty sure it's by Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. We say in Parashat Hazinu, Hatzur Tamim Palo, as it goes, Hatzur Tamim Palo, Hazinu, no one knows Hazinu by heart?
Classic puzzle.
It's like God of, you know, trustworthiness, ein avel, and there's no, like, I would say avel, an injustice, a perversion of justice. Nope. Really, I need to praise God saying that he doesn't prefer justice? That's a praise? I mean, like, what was I thinking? God was perverting justice? What? El Munava ain't Avel. Why would I even have thought that God does that? So here's Rav Yisrael Salanter's idea, and it fits in with this. Could be that a person deserves to die. He sinned, he deserves to die. And Kadosh Baruch Hu will take into consideration, does his wife deserve to become a widow? Do his kids deserve to be orphans? And if the answer right now is no, God might say, I'm going to postpone his punishment. Because I'm looking at a bigger picture. Okay, that doesn't mean to say anyone who suffered the loss of a relative, it means, yes, I deserve to be an orphan or my mother deserves to be a widow. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is saying, there might be other things that are thrown into the picture. And here, this is this idea. If it would have come during the time of Shaul, it would have been too harsh. And therefore, it came in the time of David. I just find it interesting that we don't always necessarily see this bigger picture. Okay. What did, 3 years. What did Shaul do to the Gibbonim? What did he do to the Gibbonim? Do we have any psukim in Shmuel that says Shaul killed the Gibeonim? What's going on here?
So how does David know that this famine is being
caused? Well, God tells him, right? It says, go talk to Gibeonim. Right, but what did he do? Right? God tells him right in the beginning, it's because Shaul killed the Gibeonim. We don't have him killing the Gibeonim. So what do you think? What can you think of? Who were the Gibeonim? Who, how did God, how did Shaul kill the Gibeonim? What do you think? Aaron, start it. Who are the Gibeonim? What are they supposed to do? What's their job? Rabbi in the room. What's their job? What are they supposed to do? No, the Gibeonim, the time of Yeshua. What are they supposed to do? What? The water carriers, you were talking about before, right? Where were they carrying water and chopping wood? Where? Where?
Mishkan?
Good. In the Mishkan. Okay? These were workers for the Mishkan. Says the Gemara in Yevamos. Okay? Says the Gemara in Yevamos. When Shaul killed the Kohanim of which city?
Nov.
By extension, he hurt the Gibeonim because Nov supported the Gibeonim. So this is very strange when you think about it. Shaul's being blamed, not for killing Nov, that's what he killed, but that he caused Gibeonim to die because they were being supported by Nov. Think about how harshly this is being, he's being judged here, right? So this is the Gemara. It seems a little bit harsh, and that's why Rav Sadia Gaon has a different idea. Sadia Gaon, quoted by the Radak, says when he killed the Kohanim of Nov, they were Gibeonim around working in the Mishkan. They became collateral damage. And therefore, they were Gibeonim that were killed by Shaul because they were rounded up with the Kohanim of Nov. Okay? This is Rav Sadia Gaon. The Radak himself says that the Gibeonim, this goes back to Yeshua now, tricked Bnei Yisrael. How did they trick them? What did they say? Oh, we come from far away, right? They had like worn out sacks of water. It's so dry, it was parched. And they, you know, okay. Now, they tricked them. What should have happened now? It was supposed to kill all the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael. They were from Eretz Yisrael. But since they made a treaty, so they weren't killed. Shaul felt that they deceived Bnei Israel. They deserved to die. So Shaul just killed them. This is what the Radak says. Said, I don't know who gave you a pass until now. You guys deserve to die. He killed them. What was the reason why, according to Rashi and the Barbanel, Yoshua never killed them? What was the reason why he didn't kill them on the spot then? Because it looked like a Chil Hashem. That Jews don't keep their word. We gave you a word and now we broke our word. And if so, says the Radak, that's exactly what happened now. The Chilul Hashem. That Shaul, even if it's generations later, killed out the Gibeonim, but Yeshua gave his word. And you now kill them? That's a Chilul Hashem. And that's why they were killed. Now, what two mitzvot in the Torah, two psukim in the Torah, are violated in the way he kills them? Okay, look at Devarim 24:16. What does it say? Devarim 24:16. Aaron, you got it? What does it say?
Yeah.
Read it.
Fathers shall not be put to death because of sons. The son shall not be put to death because of fathers. The man shall be put to death for his own sin.
And right now, what did we just do? We're killing, according to Shaul, killed Gibeonim for the sin of their fathers. One of their. Go to 21:23. Stay in Devarim.
21:23.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
The bodies shall not remain for the night of the gallows. The body shall surely bury him on that day. For hanging prison is the prison of God.
Even if I hang a person, it cannot be left overnight. It's got to be brought down. And what happened in our story? They're left for months. right? So Gemara in Yevamos is bothered by this and says, how is it that David went against two old Pesukim in the Torah?
He went to war right after, I guess that could be the...
You say that's like a punishment.
Oh, no, I'm saying, like, right after he hanged him, they start going to war, maybe, like, he did it at Tata. I don't know.
Couldn't tell anyone that, take him down. The Gemara in Yevamos says, very strong statement. Yevamos Ayin Tet. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mutav she'te'akar ot achat min haTorah, ba'al yizkar le'el shem shemayim b'farhesya. It's better to uproot a letter in the Torah, or here, psukim in the Torah, than to have a chil Hashem. Right now, there's a chil Hashem. And therefore, David felt, I have to rectify the situation. The Givonim are saying that we did a chil Hashem. And therefore, we have to make it right. And David now does this. Okay? And we don't see that he's necessarily punished for this. So it's an interesting thing. Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, whoever raises an orphan in his home, it's as if he gave birth to that person. Bring me a proof from this parak. Based on stuff that we know, I'll narrow it down to you. It's when the first, I don't know, eight psukim. You know, I'll narrow it down to you. It's Pasuk 8. Read Pasuk 8 and tell me why the Gemara learns that a magadol yatom v'yatoma b'toch peito ke'il yeldo.
If the money or mitzvah were adopted,
more than that, who are we saying? Who is this? Who are these kids? Michal. What do we know about Michal? She had no kids. Remember we said Michal had no kids? We also know who was she married to? David. And when Shaul took her away, who was she married to? Palti ben Lahish. But she's not married to Adriel. Adriel was married to her older sister, Merab. Remember in the beginning when Shaul says to David, I'm going to marry you off to my daughter if you go to the Plishtim. And then next puzzle, oh, and he married her off somewhere else. Oh, but he had another daughter. So Merab went to Adriel. Now, all of a sudden, Michal, who is the mother of these kids from Adriel, she's not. So what did the Gemara conclude? Merav died. What did Michal then do? She married Adriel, and she took care of them the way only a sister would, take care of her nephews and nieces, and they were like hers. And based on that, if you adopt a child, it's like you raised them. It's like you gave birth to them. Because we've seen this, Sukkim are calling them the child of, right? I know people in my community adopt their kids, and they get called up to the Torah by the adopted father's name, right? So this is what we have over here. Yeah, there's even some opinions say if you adopt your yotze, the mitzvah peruvim, right? Very interesting. Okay, now what test does David have when choosing people to be killed by the Gibeonim? He passes the test, but he passes the test that sort of he's put in a spot here where he, if he would have let his Yetzer get the best of him, he could have sinned big time. What do they ask for? What do they want to give on him? What do they want? What? Children, descendants of Shaul to be killed. Who's the only person who is a possible heir to the throne? Mephibosheth. David could have said, well, I didn't want to kill you. I had no choice. God said, told me to go to Givonim. This is what they told. So I'm sorry, buddy, but you're out. All the other people are sons of a daughter, not blue blood, or sons of a concubine, certainly not blue blood. And therefore, the one potential heir to Shaul's throne, Mephibosheth, son of a son, could have been sent along to the gallows. But David made a promise to Yonatan. He kept his word, even though we see, you know, the way he feels about Mephibosheth is not so great from the last parakim, but he's able to overcome that, and he, you know, looks out for Mephibosheth ben Yonatan. Now, what you see in this parak also is this unbelievable contrast between the cruelty of the Gibeonim. How does it make anything better? I'm going to take now descendants of Shaul and kill them, and that will assuage me. That will make me feel much better. It's so weird. You have cruelty on one side, and what do you have on the other side? You have Ritzpah.
Ritzvah, the mother of two of the kids, staying there for months on end, basically a silent protest, making sure that the vultures don't come and eat away at the body, covered a mace. Right? They couldn't care less about human dignity, and she now, that's all she's all about. It's really very impressive. So like you see this contrast between the two. Now we get back to what someone brought up about David and not going into battle. Turn back to chapter 18, 2 through 4. What does it say? Ronnie, read 2 through 4. Page 769.
David then sent the people away, a third under the hand of Joab, a third under the hand of Abishai, son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. The king then said to the people, I shall also go forth with you. But the people said, you should not go forth, for if we will have to flee, they will not care about us. If half of us die, they will not care about us, even if we would be 10,000 times as many as we are. Therefore, it is better that you help us from the city.
But now, in our parak, that was temporary. What was the reason why David should go out to battle? Because we said, battle's going to end either with the death of one king or the other. Now, what do we have in Chafal that's different? We want to retire your number. We're going to hang it on the rafters. You're amazing. But you're old. And that's why Ephraim, earlier when Yoav said to come out, David was still in his prime. Come out and declare victory. But at this point, you are our Ner Yisrael. Right? That's what it says over here. You're the Ner Yisrael. And losing that guiding light, it's not worth it. Like, just don't go. That's who he is. I mean, we find the phrase Ner Yisrael in a couple of other places as well. But that's what David is referred to. Okay.